Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa DeYoung. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 16. Today I'm going to speak on the topic of commitment. This is, I think, a very important conversation to have, a very important theme in all of our lives, and it's something that I've reflected on quite a lot within the last 12 months or so. And I'd love to share with you some thoughts I have, some examples of my own experiences and stories with commitment, why it's important to me to talk about our relationship with commitment, why commitment is difficult, how we can take steps to make commitment easier for ourselves, and yeah, all of the good things when it comes to commitment. So today I am speaking to you from a very premenstrual place. I'm very slow today, very tender. My body feels quite heavy. And I was expecting my period to come today and it hasn't, and that's okay. But it's just interesting how wild the mind can get in this particular vulnerable place of the cycle. I really wasn't feeling like recording today, but it was in my diary and I want to do it today. Today is Friday before the weekend. And I was having a bit of a mental struggle with sitting down to record, and I always will write some notes before I record and reflect on what I want to share. Yeah, and it was a bit of a mental struggle, and I sat down and I kind of was thinking, God, this is going to be a terrible podcast episode. It's like, I just feel in a really negative headspace. And what I did was, I have some mindset coaching tools that I use in my coaching and use for myself. And I used one of the tools and it was great. It was just a very quick little... It's just a kind of a mindset. Yeah, it's a mindset tool where you journal very quickly on the thoughts and feelings you're having around a particular topic and then how you want to shift them. And it was very easy for me to shift my thoughts. And now I feel in a lot more self-acceptance about where I am. I'm trying to just really accept where I am today and in my body, I mean, and in my mind, and that's okay. And I've got my back and I can do the podcast and it doesn't have to be perfect, and I can accept myself in my vulnerability in the premenstrual phase. Yeah, so I have a little candle here, I've got my notes, I have a shawl on, and I'm ready to go, and I'm letting myself feel all what I need to feel while I'm speaking to you. So just thought I'd give you a little insight into what's going on there, because it's relevant to what I want to share with you. So commitment is a very important thing that I'm looking for when I am speaking to people on consult calls. So if you're interested in coaching, I invite people to book a free consultation call with me, and we just talk about what's going on for you, where you want to get to, how I could potentially help. And it does require commitment. It's a 3-month process and we do quite deep work, but it's very gentle. It's gentle and it's nourishing, but it is deep, and it does require commitment of your energy, your time, and it's an investment as well. So I would love to share with you this testimonial that a client of mine sent to me during the week we finished up recently, and I would just love to share it here. So she says, "My one-to-one sessions with Lisa have been one of the best investments I've made, the investment in myself, my health, and well-being. Prior to working with Lisa, I was operating from what felt like a permanent state of fight or flight. Since our work began, I have been learning to better regulate my nervous system, and I've noticed my reactions and responses are much more calm and centered. I have also learned to not beat myself up if that is not the response I have every time, because we are human after all and perfection doesn't exist. Another learning. I have also found a connection with myself that I thought was lost, and I am feeling more confident and sure of my decisions and purpose for the first time in a long time. The work has felt gentle, easy, and above all, safe. I loved it. Thank you, Lisa." So thank you, Nicola, for that gorgeous testimonial. And I'd love to have you on the podcast. So hopefully I can get her on soon and we can have a chat about coaching. So if you're interested in doing similar work, and if you have a particular area that you think I can help you with regards to your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, navigating relationships, even if you need support for your professional development, book a call, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. The link is in the show notes, and we can have a chat and see if I can help you. So commitment. Commitment is actually my word of the year. And when I say word of the year, a few years ago, it might have been 6 or 7 years ago, actually, at this point, I saw this trend online where people were saying that they had a word of the year. And I loved the idea of having a word of the year. I'm a big words person. I'm really, really interested in language and etymology and linguistics and all that. And it can be a really powerful thing, I think, to have a guiding word or guiding theme or guiding principle for your year, depending on what you're working on or your goals or what you're working towards or what you're healing from. And so I've had a whole variety of words ever since I started this work. And my word of the year this year, and it's always something that kind of comes to me in January, it's kind of a theme I feel into that I kind of get a sense of what I need for the year, what can hold me, what can support me, what can be kind of a running thread through the year. And the word that came to me was commitment. And the reason I decided I wanted to work with that energy and the word commitment and all of the associations with commitment was because I found myself in a place of not committing to a lot of things and then struggling with commitment in different areas of my life, in my personal life, in my professional life, even in my health. And I realized it's because it's not an easy thing to do, is to commit. It's not easy. It requires choices. It requires decisions. And choices and decisions mean that we have to let go of other alternative options. And it means that we commit to something even when it's not working, or we commit to something when we lose hope or it doesn't feel comfortable. And so there'd be a lot to say on that. And because we're exploring this theme of commitment, I thought it'd be fun to look up the dictionary definition. And it says here, it's a noun, the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or an activity, or a pledge or an undertaking. And the etymology, so the history of the word commitment, comes from co and then mission. So co meaning together or being something in pairs, and then mission is like the bringing of something together. So the bringing of things together. And the etymology of the word commitment is also rooted in this concept of to entrust into someone or something, or to trust yourself with something. So it's this whole idea of coming into relationship with something and then with an undercurrent of trust within that as well. So this is big stuff. This is definitely big stuff, and in a way kind of almost mystical, not very concrete. It's a relational experience. And so everyone will have a very different experience, a very different life story, very different understanding and beliefs and history when it comes to commitments in all areas of your life. We really live in a world where there's just so many options nowadays. It's so easy to, you know, the minute we wake up, we're bombarded with information, with sales, with marketing, with advertisements, with different options for so many different things, whether it be a new option for a piece around self-care, or a new diet to try, or a new outfit, or a new skincare product, or a new exercise regime, or, you know, new types of relationships as well. There's just so many options out there that we kind of forget the importance of this age-old concept of commitment. And when I was reflecting on it this year, I kind of realized, yeah, I really, like, the world isn't going to encourage me to commit to something, because we live in this very capitalist world where we are always being kind of moved towards different options when it comes to things like that. Even in healing and in wellness, there's always another book or another thing to try. But I really think it's very important for us to consider our relationship with commitment. Can we choose something and commit to it for a certain period of time, and stay with the process of being in commitment and in relationship with something, even when we lose hope, or when we lose excitement, or when the thrill of it is over and it gets kind of boring, or we're not seeing results yet, or whatever. And I think, especially when it comes to something like business, building a business, or if you are on a journey of healing and recovery and you have a particular goal in mind, there's going to be days where it's just, you know, the results aren't there and it feels like you're going backwards, or you feel like you're a failure, or you feel like the thing that you've decided to try just isn't working. And it's very easy to just, you know, abandon ship and quit and then move on to the next thing to try. And so, you know, our whole life becomes about trying new things all the time, you know, trying new business ideas. If you have a business already and you're trying to find, you know, how to market your business in this day and age, there's so many different ways to market your business. There's so many different social media platforms. But if you spend all your day doing marketing because you're trying to do everything, you'd never actually have time for your business or your clients or whatever it is you're doing. So commitment, like picking something and sticking with it, it's really, really a very powerful thing to do, and not getting distracted with all the other options and the noise out there. Because at the end of the day, if you've picked something that works well for you, or that you know has the potential to bring results into your life, or that you know has the potential to support you and to help you, or to help your business, or to help your clients, or to support you in your recovery or your healing journey, it's such an important thing to make a decision and stick with it, and every now and then to not look back. And I do think obviously we need to reconsider our choices, but I just think that we do live in a world where we're constantly being encouraged to try the new thing when it comes to all areas of our life. So this podcast is all about encouraging us to think about commitment. What does it mean for us? Where is it important for me? Where can I build more of a relationship with commitment in my life? What areas of my life could do with more commitment, and how can I do that? So an example of this linked back to what I was sharing with you at the start of this episode around my own cycle check-in and my self-care around that. This podcast is a commitment for me. I feel very committed to this. I've up-leveled my relationship with commitment in my business this year, and I'm sticking to that. And as I said, the podcast is really part of that. And so when I was doing my podcasting course, I took a course on how to do a podcast in Dublin back in, I think it was February, March, and shout out to the podcast studios. Our teacher on the course, he said that, you know, podcasting takes a lot of time. By the time you plan your podcast, by the time you record your podcast, by the time you edit it, by the time you market it and, you know, share it in the world, it can take up to a whole day of your week. And I just thought to myself, like, that's like, I don't have a whole day to do a whole podcast. Like, I'm working, I'm doing other things. There's other things that are important to me, and I just don't want to do that. So I kind of thought to myself, like, my podcast does not have to be perfect. I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to talk about things that I know and that I like to talk about. I'm just going to take the approach of as though I'm speaking to a client, or as though I'm speaking to a group that I work with, or I'm teaching, or I'm doing a webinar or something. And I am not engaging in that perfectionist mindset, and I'm just going to do what I need to do for now. Because if I try to undertake all of those extra trimmings and try to make this perfect podcast, it's just never going to happen. It's going to be far too much of a commitment for me. It's going to drain me. It's going to deplete my own resources. It's not going to be sustainable. So I kind of thought to myself, like, okay, I really want to do this podcast. It matters to me. I love the idea of speaking and engaging and connecting with my audience. I want to commit to one really, really good avenue in terms of my marketing this year. And I don't want to spread myself across all these options and just commit to one thing. How can I do that? How can I connect with people and share this value and build relationships, but do it in a way that works for me? And I thought, you know something, I'm just going to like set a time in my diary every week to have it in my diary to do the podcast. I'm not going to do more than an hour of recording. Most of the time it'll be half an hour or 45 minutes, and it's just going to get edited very imperfectly. It's not going to be perfect, and that's just the way it is. And so far so good. It's working fine. You know, the numbers are pretty high in terms of the downloads. People are messaging me. I'm very pleased with the podcast. It's not perfect. I don't always feel massively enthusiastic about it, but I love it overall. It's like, it's my project. It's this journey I'm on, and I've committed to it, and I'm really proud of that. And so the reason I'm sharing that story with you now here is because I'd like to encourage you to think about how can you make commitment work for you in your way and not take on those messages that people are just assuming upon you. How can you soften the edges of it? How can you make it a more nourishing experience? How can you make it easy? How can you make it safer for you? How can you make it less pressure? There can be a lot of pressure that comes with commitment, but I don't think that's necessarily the way it has to be. So really, again, coming back to your own power, your own agency, making tweaks, making changes, questioning assumptions, and then creating it in a way that works for you. And at the end of the day, what's more important than having a perfect, beautifully scripted and edited podcast episode every week is that I actually show up every week, because when it comes to engagement, just being present is more important. It's actually something that my dad said to me and my brothers and my sister years ago is one of the most important things you can do in life is show up. And it's so true. And when it comes to menstrual cycle awareness, it's not that we need to hide ourselves from the world when we're in pain or when we're suffering. Okay, if you're really struggling, please, please rest and give yourself permission to self-care and to say no to things. But if you're trying to live more in sync with your cycle and practice menstrual cycle awareness, it doesn't have to be about this black and white idea of like, oh, in my inner summer, I, you know, show up in my goddess energy, and in my inner winter, I just check out. Like, that's not realistic. We live in this world. We have commitments. We have relationships. We have to show up to things. But how can I show up in a way that works for me with where I am at today? How can I care for myself? How can I soften those edges? How can I look at the way that I'm speaking to myself? For me, that's usually very invisible and not clear, and I have to write it down. But really, really looking after ourselves in that way. And I do think that when we're committing to a project or we're committing to self-care, the way we relate to our commitment, the way we speak to ourselves, the expectations we have on ourselves, the assumptions we're making, those are really important things to just every now and then check in on with ourselves, and to return to kindness, to return to compassion, to return to curiosity and gentleness with ourselves. Because I think commitment can be a very powerful thing. If you're committing to something, it can really be an amazing place for you to grow something big, for you to dream big, for you to bring into existence something that never existed before, writing a book, writing a poem, you know, any kind of creative project. Those things all require commitment. And what that means is that we're showing up for ourselves, for the project, for our work, for our recovery, for our self-care, even on the days where it feels like we don't want to, even on the days where it feels boring, or we're not getting the results, or we have shitty feelings around it. And it's that commitment, that dedication to the project or to ourselves, in spite of how we feel. Okay. And so it makes it a lot easier when we can self-care and soothe those feelings around it. And then obviously this topic of commitment is a huge conversation in relationships, and relationships isn't something I speak about yet publicly. It's one of my favorite topics, in fairness, to talk about with my friends. And I do coach on relationships quite a lot. So if you're interested in that too, feel free to book a consultation with me, lisadioncoaching.com, and I can support you in the realm of relationships when it comes to our bodies and our nervous system and our thinking and attachment theory. But yeah, relationships, commitment, obviously it's a big, big topic. I know there's books written about this, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing around being there through the highs and the lows, the exciting times, the boring times, the ambivalence, like that understanding that relationships also come with ambivalence. They come with ambiguity. They come with, you know, confusion and stuckness and fear and not sure if like he or she is the one or whatever, you know. And commitment, I suppose, isn't about finding the big yes answer and finding, you know, the diamond in all of this. It's actually about being okay and finding ourselves with an ability to be with those uncomfortable feelings and showing up to the stuckness, showing up to the confusion, and being able to work through those things with our partner or within our business or within ourselves or with our coach or something. So that's another thing for you to think about. This week on Instagram, before I recorded this podcast, I popped up on my stories that I was going to talk about commitment, and I just asked my audience if they had any questions about this or wonderings about this. And one lady got back to me and she said this, she had this great question, which was, why are we, as in we people, humans, why are we so afraid of things that bring safety? And that's a really, really good question. I, from a nervous system perspective, which is the work that I do mostly, when we do commit to things or when we invite something into our life that has an element more safety than we're used to, or say if you're someone who's been in and out of a lot of different relationships and there hasn't been a huge amount of stability in a particular area of your life, like your career or your relationship or something like that, or committing to a home. Some people are like traveling around the world and constantly changing where they live. It can be a multitude of reasons. It can be because we have trauma in that particular area, and that trauma causes a familiar experience in our nervous system. And when we begin to heal and change and make different choices, then our nervous system starts to regulate. But having regulation and having calm and having safety in our bodies around a particular topic, we can interpret that as boredom, or we can interpret that as dangerous, or we can interpret that as, you know, not exciting. If we're so used to kind of the drama or the ups and downs or anxiety or fear, if we're constantly, you know, navigating our lives with anxiety and fear or drama, even though we're trying to run away from those things and we're trying to get away from those things, I think on a deep nervous system level, there is a part of us that's familiar with that, that we're used to that. And then we have to start to build regulation around non-drama, build regulation around calm, build regulation around safety and things that are good for us. And that's a whole piece of work. That's a huge part of the work I do with people as well, particularly for people who have a history of trauma. It can be very, very difficult to carve that out. And it can come up we can self-sabotage in very unconscious ways. We can bring our unconscious dynamics into the coaching or therapeutic space as well. It can really show up in a lot of different ways. And that's a huge question to answer, but it really comes back to that piece around the fact that when we start to make different choices that are different to what we did before, it can just take our system a while to get used to it. And that's why some people find it very difficult to, if they're doing a piece of work around healing in their dating life or in their relationship life, and they're choosing different types of partners. When you start to choose different types of partners who are more in what's called secure attachment, who are more available than people who weren't before, and there's less drama, that can be quite dysregulating for you as well. It can be confusing on a kind of unconscious nervous system level. So it's important that we take our time, that we move slowly, that we give ourselves lots of space, that we understand this, that we regulate through this, and that we can get excitement in our lives from other more appropriate places, in your creativity, in your friendships, in travel, in other areas of your life that doesn't have to be kind of self-sabotaging. So those are my thoughts on that. I'd be really curious to hear what you think about that. So you can send me an email, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And then lastly, I kind of wanted to share with you this whole idea of like being just like the things that you commit to, the things that you choose to commit to in your day for your self-care or for your work. After a while, you begin to normalize them. So you make some choices, you make some decisions, then you have to get used to them, then they become normal. Like, for example, when you're a kid, I was babysitting my 2-year-old nephew not long ago, and I was trying to get him to brush his teeth, and it was just war. It was an absolute war in the bathroom, and you know, there was no winning for me. So we put him to bed without brushing his teeth. Fine, I'm the auntie, so that's grand, you know, no problem. His mum can brush his teeth the next day. But for him, he's gonna rebel. He's 2, and that's what they do. Whereas for me, I'm in my 30s, brushing my teeth happens minimum twice a day. And it's just not a question. It just is what it is. It's been normalized into my nervous system and into my brain and into my routine for a very, very long time. So if we're thinking about commitment to things and things we want to implement into our lives, it just takes time for us to normalize them, to work through the rebellious feelings in us, you know, that inner 2-year-old in us, and to be gentle with ourselves with that. So I just wanted to share with you some of the things that I commit to that are just like, this is just what I do now, and I just don't question them. And I'm really glad I do that, because before it was hard for me to allow myself to commit to these things. I would feel guilty or felt like I didn't need them in my life or didn't see the point of them. But now I do. So I commit to therapy. I go to therapy, not every week, but regularly enough. I do coaching. I have my own coach. I have my supervisor for my client work and my business. I also commit, and that's like once a month, I also commit to my, what's called a Maya massage therapist. So that's a woman here in Dublin who does abdominal massage for people who are in recovery from things like endometriosis or period pain. I commit to that once a month. And she also does acupuncture. I also commit to particular dietary choices that I made a couple of years ago. That was hard as well, navigating that required commitment. I very much commit to my friends. I have very good friendships. I also commit to reflection in my personal life and professional life and process work. So I'm very committed to, how do I describe it? Just being in relationship with uncomfortable feelings and, yeah, just, well, I guess all of the work that I talk about, practicing what I preach, you know, walking the walk, very, very committed to that. And with thanks to my supervisor and my own coach who really helped me to do that. So that's what I want to say. And if you're curious about exploring commitment in your life, I have some reflection questions for you. So I've written down here, what areas of your life do you struggle with commitment? Just curious, some compassionate curiosity around particular areas. Maybe there's a theme for you to think about. What areas is it easier for you to have commitment with, and why do you think that could be? What makes commitment easier for you? So what supports commitment for you? So for example, friends, the fact that they live close by for me, the fact that I have things in common, the fact that I feel super nourished by the friendships that I have, very easy for me to commit to that. Then I have this question, what one area would you like to explore or improve commitment with? So I'd encourage you to pick one area in your life, personal area or in your business or in your work or something. How can you explore or improve commitment with that? And commitment might mean letting go of things. It might mean, you know, unfollowing some people and just focusing on one or two practices, you know, or letting, you know, unsubscribing from certain emails that are distracting you and then just focusing on a few. Or maybe you're doing like loads of different regulation and self-care tools. Like, what can you let go of on your self-care list so that you can really commit to just a few things instead of having too many? Because I think if we have too many things, it can be distracting and overwhelming, and then we're not really committing to like a few things. So that's something to think about. And then I'd also encourage you to explore the feelings that commitment brings up for you. So the example I have here is around money. So our relationship with money, again, that's a whole other podcast episode. And, you know, if we're committed to having a good relationship with money and good money management, especially as women, what kind of feelings and thoughts and insecurities or stories or anxieties or fears or self-critical thinking, what does that topic bring up for you in relation to money, for example? And that might be another episode down the line. So those are my thoughts for today. And I just want to remind you that I have my menstrual cycle coaching certification and professional training beginning in October. I do that once a year. I'm currently taking, people are signing up for it, and I'm taking, I'm doing consult calls. So if you're interested in becoming a menstrual cycle coach, if you're interested in integrating this work into your practice, or you want to learn more from a professional point of view, it's a 6-month long training. It's a beautiful training. It's very nourishing. It's fun. It's engaging. It's a wonderful group of people coming together. It's inclusive. And we'll be learning a lot together, and going on a journey from October till March. So that starts in October, and there's still spaces. So if you're interested, book a consultation with me, lisadioncoaching.com. The link is in the show notes, and you'll find the link with more information. And I have spaces for one-to-one clients. If you're interested in doing one-to-one coaching for yourself personally or professional development, send me an email or book a consultation with me. Link is in the show notes. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.